This is Upstate's Health Inc. on air. Linda Cohen here. Earlier this year, the FDA approved the first treatment to give limited vision to people who are blind, involving a technology called the artificial retina, which offers new hope for some people with visual disturbances. And here with more on this breakthrough technology is Dr. Anthony Andrews. He's the chief of the retina service at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Andrews. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So to begin with, help us understand what we mean when we say artificial retina. I mean, that's so exciting, the concept. Tell us what it is.
Sure. The retina is the tissue that you see with. It's like wallpaper on the back wall of the eye. And it has special cells called rods and cones that absorb the light. The rods are very, very sensitive to light, 1,000 times more sensitive than the cones. The cones give you the best vision, the sharp vision, the color vision. In certain conditions, like retinitis pigmentosa, these cells can be damaged so severely that people can lose basically all of their vision, maybe be completely blind, or maybe just barely able to see light. The artificial retina then is a substitute for those cells.
So for the cone cells, no, the rod cells.
It's for both.
Oh, I
basically
see.
Basically what happens at the moment is that there is an electrode system that is used to stimulate the remaining cells inside of the eye. For whatever reason, the system is set up such that light has to pass through the retina itself before it gets to the photoreceptors. Then the photoreceptors absorb the light energy and then send information back through the retina, back to the optic nerve, and eventually back to the brain for vision. Some systems are trying to design to basically bypass the photoreceptor cells.
Excuse me for interrupting you, but the photoreceptor cells are what exists in nature, naturally in us.
Right.
But the electrodes that you're talking about that are part of the artificial retina are the ones that are implanted?
Right. They're implanted, and they're trying to bypass the system such that we're able to get vision through the remaining healthy cells that are in the retina.
Okay. So first let me ask you about this system. What exactly does it look like? What exactly is it? And how is it actuated? How is it put into the human body?
The Argus II system consists of a camera connected to a pair of glasses. The information is then taken from the camera and goes to a computer system. The computer system then interprets the images and sends wireless information to an implant on the outside wall of the eye. And then there are cables connected to an electrode inside of the eye on the retina itself. And then the information then is used to stimulate 60 electrodes in certain patterns. The person then gets the image of multiple patterns of light, and that person then has to interpret those patterns in order to understand the vision.
So when you say that, the person has to, this is not done with kind of a process of thinking. It's basically an immediate, natural thing that happens.
No, they actually have to go through some level of training, right?
Oh,
if you keep in mind that right now you have probably about 120 million rod cells, maybe 6 to 7 million cone cells. And so we're looking at using 60 electrodes to try to compensate for millions upon millions of cells. The vision is very crude, and therefore people need to be trained in order to be able to use it. There's actually a study also looking at whether they'd be able to detect motion or movement. We take that for granted with our vision. And about 50% of people with this implant can detect motion.
So the eyeglass camera captures the images, and
right.
The video processor translates these almost pixelated patterns of light and dark.
That's correct.
Transmits it to the electrodes, and then the electrodes send them to the brain.
Right. The electrode stimulates the retina cells. Those cells go through the optic nerve back to the brain for vision.
But what you're describing sounds, as you mentioned, crude. So is vision actually improved, or let's rephrase that, how much is vision actually improved?
Well, if you want to look at just kind of what people talk about 20/20 vision, we're talking about maybe 20/1,000 kind of vision. So it's not very sharp vision. But in these people who have absolutely no vision, or again, barely able to detect light, it can give them the idea of images, shapes. They even talk about being able to see letters if they're large enough.
Wow.
And so, in other words, you're able to increase the activities of daily living to allow these people to function better, function more on their own.
Wow. Well, that's quite an improvement. So
absolutely.
Help us understand then who would be affected. You mentioned people with retinitis pigmentosa. Right. First of all, what causes that?
Retinitis pigmentosa is a group of inherited retinal diseases. It's a genetic issue, genetic problem. It's estimated that in the United States, about 1 in 4,000 people has retinitis pigmentosa. Fortunately, most people with retinitis pigmentosa maintain reasonable vision, meaning more than 50% will still have 20/40 vision in one eye. However, about 0.5% will go on to basically lose all of the vision, either have barely able to detect a bright light or absolute darkness.
Does that happen over time?
Is that
something
over
slowly
time.
Over time?
Right, that happens over time. And so right now, this device is basically designed for people in that 0.5% of retinitis pigmentosa who have no vision or, again, just barely able to detect light.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen along with Dr. Anthony Andrews, and we're talking about the artificial retina and who it can help. Are there other people who might be candidates for this kind of help? Obviously, it sounds like there have to be a myriad of reasons people become blind.
That's true. Right now, as I said, it's really only approved for retinitis pigmentosa. But hopefully, as the technology improves and advances, we'll be able to offer this to other conditions that cause blindness.
Such as?
Well, again, there are a series of different types of inherited retinal diseases and problems. There are issues with damage to the eye from trauma or other conditions. And so it's possible that somewhere down the road, this technology would be able to benefit those people.
How about something like macular degeneration, which I know is a function of aging many people experience?
That's right. And unfortunately, that's a disease that can rob the central vision and eventually cause legal blindness. Hopefully someday we might be able, with this type of equipment, to be able to substitute for that kind of vision. At the moment, though, the systems that we have available are too crude to basically make any difference in people with macular degeneration. Even though I know that the vision can be severely affected, that vision is still too good to benefit from this electronic array. It's really only designed for people with basically no vision at all or barely able to see light.
So what do you expect to happen, or what do you imagine could happen to improve this crude technology to make it sharper and better vision?
Well, there's over a dozen groups at the moment researching this type of artificial retina, and they're trying different kinds of electrical arrays. There's the Active Subretinal Implant Group in Europe, and they're going to be coming to the United States for trials in the not-too-distant future, and they use a 1,500 photo electrode system. So instead of 60, maybe 1,500, possibly allowing better resolution. And again, just like cell phones were pretty crude and have gotten to be very, very advanced, we're hoping that this technology will also advance over the years.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting. It sounds like there's a lot of potential. And as you said, if that was the case, it probably could be helping a wider variety of people with retinal problems from all kinds of causes.
That's right.
Yeah. So what it seems to me that still it's reliant heavily on technology, external technology. What other kinds of research is going on now? I mean, there's so much excitement in the world of stem cells and genetics, for example. Is there anything going on to help people who are blind in that area?
Absolutely. I did my medical school training at the University of Pennsylvania, and there was a very interesting genetic study in the University of Pennsylvania, and that was for a condition called Leber's congenital amaurosis. It's basically a retinitis pigmentosa from birth. There's a special variant of it called RPE65. And interestingly, there's a group of sheepdogs that have this problem. They don't have the proper gene. And there was a dog by the name of Lancelot who became very famous. Mm. And Lancelot had this problem. And at the University of Pennsylvania, they used these transforming vectors to basically put in the gene that the dog was missing.
Help us understand that, transforming vectors. What does that mean?
Basically, it's a way of getting genetic material from the outside of a cell inside of a cell. It's kind of like a virus kind of system that can get information inside of the cell.
So they put genetic information into the cells of these dogs or of Lancelot?
Of Lancelot, right, in the retina itself. And not to get too complicated here, but the interesting thing about that was that they were able to set it up outside the nucleus itself. They didn't have to go in the nucleus where all the genetic material is. They were able to set it up inside of the cell, but outside of the nucleus to produce the proteins needed that the dog didn't have. And there, you can probably still find it online somewhere, but there are videos of showing Lancelot before getting this gene therapy, not being able to walk around, bumping into things, and then after getting the gene therapy, being able to navigate and being able to see. So wow. Gene therapy is pretty exciting, and there are actually human trials going on now with Leber's congenital amaurosis in the RPE65 system.
And this, this was quite a while ago.
A little over a decade ago.
Right. So it seems to me that they must have made some very significant advances in the use of gene therapy.
Well, certainly they have. But again, you know, it's one of those things that we would like things to advance even faster than they do. It's very complicated, very difficult. I have nothing but praise for all the researchers doing this kind of work.
How about stem cells?
Absolutely. We're even doing some stem cell research here at SUNY Upstate. The idea of being able to take cells, transform them into the cells that are damaged, missing, or somehow not functioning well, certainly holds a lot of promise. And it's interesting that we've got multiple competing ways of trying to help vision. We've got the artificial retina, the electronic computer kind of way of going, but we also have gene therapy, hopefully be able to modify genes inside cells. And then ultimately, we may be able to replace cells and be able to even, hopefully maybe someday, reform an entire eye.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, very briefly, in a little bit of time we have left, what do you hope is going to happen right here in Central New York with this artificial retina?
Well, I've already been in contact with the company, and understandably, because at the moment so few people are going to benefit from this technology, they're going to be concentrating on major metropolitan areas. However, I have my name in, and if they decide to expand to larger, more diverse areas, we're certainly going to try to be able to offer that. Also, as I mentioned, hopefully there are going to be more complicated, more detailed type systems available that may be able to help more people, and certainly we'll be looking to be able to offer that here.
Thanks so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Anthony Andrew. He's the chief of the Retina Service at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.